God's going to do a miracle in your life right here and right now. Right here and right now.
We do.
Yes, indeed. Come on, look at this. My goodness, is this a God moment or what? Come on. Come on. Well, I better get my oil. Yeah. Get you all lubed up. Good night. I might as well just pray for the whole doggone church. Everybody's coming up. Come on, Steve. Get up here and help me now. Come on, get up here and help me.
Right.
All right. You got to make a little room here, so spread them out just a little bit. Yeah, we got to have kind of a line here a little bit so I can get to everybody in the back. Come on, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Everybody just kind of make one big old line right here. Come on.
I'm not in line.
Come on. That's all right. That's all right. Come on, Steve. Put a little anointing oil on your finger. All right, we're going to be praying for folks here.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I have no idea what kind of miracle you're believing for, but God does. Keep slipping down just a little bit. We got to have just a little bit more room here. That's all right. Come on. Get in here. Come on. Yeah, we want Michael. We want everybody getting in on there. Amen. And Cheryl, too. I was wondering if I was going to see you, girl. She broke her shoulder this week. Still here working. Now, this is the thing. Now, pay attention to me, because what we're going to do is, Brother Stephen and I, we're going to lay hands on you. Steve's called to God. He's taking off the raiment next week.
Amen.
We're going to see some amazing things take place in his life. Amen. But believe this. It's all coming from God.
Amen.
So whatever it is that you have need of, why you came forward, I just want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to focus on God. And I want you to say to God right now, Lord, I am believing you for, and tell him what it is. It's got to come out of your mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when you declare that before God, when Stephen and I are going to come by, we're just going to lay hands on you real quick, and God's going to make that deposit into your life. Can you believe that with me?
Yes.
Whatever it is, the breakthrough begins now. Say this with me. It's mine.
It's mine.
I have it now.
I believe
when hands are laid on me that I will receive exactly what God has for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you start with Michael and go that way, and I'll go this way. Thank you, Father God. Right now, in Jesus' name, receive. In Jesus' name, it's yours. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Power and might and dominion. Deliverance in every way. Father, we just thank you right now that you're casting out the darkness, Lord. You're bringing in every light. Every healing, every touch from heaven, spirit, soul, and body, it belongs to us right now, and we receive it. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's ours simply because of your great love. So, Father, we just thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Ministering spirits, go forth. Thank you, Lord. You make a way where there is no way. You open doors that no man can close and close ones that nobody can open. In Jesus' name, it's ours. In Jesus' name, I give you thanks, my Father. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's right there. All power, all might, all glory goes to God because of His great love for you. He brought you here today for this very reason, that you would receive that impartation, that you would begin to see that supernatural release into your life right now. In Jesus' name, it's yours. Come on, somebody start rejoicing just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Now, let me ask you a question. Can the devil take it away from you?
No.
The only way you're going to lose it is if you let go of it. Because what God put on the inside of you, it's there to stay. And it will accomplish what He sent it to do. He began a good work in you, and He is faithful to complete it. Amen?
Amen.
So we know. We know. So we're going to keep speaking words that agree with what God is doing in our lives right now.
Amen.
And we just give you thanks for it, Lord. Every time the devil comes along and says you can't, yeah, you're saying, nope, it's already been done. In Jesus' name, it's already done. It's already done. It's mine. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing whatsoever. Amen. God is good. Look at this. This is amazing. This is amazing. All right. Larry, too. Yeah. Glory to God.
We all need His help.
That's right. That's right. You know, one of the best things you can do is just stay dependent on God. Yeah, because He likes that. Because He just loves to demonstrate His love for you. He's the best daddy there could ever be. Amen. God is so good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. We'll be blessedified. Amen. And fasten your seatbelts because we're going to take this to another level. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Stephen. Whoop. I don't have my backup lights on.
Glory. I'm not drunk, honestly.
I know. Woohoo. Well, the Lord is good. Amen.
All the time.
Now, I put this in once before, this little note card. I got this from Carol. I stole it. It's all right if you take something that's God's and press it, push it on to other people. But hey, anyway, this is a love letter from God. That you may not know me, but I know everything about you. It's got a scripture for every one of those. That's something good to meditate on. Because sometimes the devil comes along and goes, "Hey, you old reprobate, God don't care about you at all." No. I got God's word on it. So trot this thing out and keep reading. I'll tell you what, it'll encourage you. Now, we need to be encouraging Brother Merle, too, because Carlos and I went out. You know that big old storm we had last week? Boy, it was all you wanted in a bag of chips. But anyway, yeah, been over a week ago. Jeez. Well, Merle's got this great, big, humongous maple tree leaning on his little bitty old cottage. Carlos and I went out there thinking, shoot, we'll get out of change. Oh, no problem. We looked at it going, oh, my gosh. Yeah, the only reason why his house is not flattened is that it landed, kind of half of it landed in the big, great big old elm tree that was right next to it. But it's leaning on his house, something terrible. So the only way they can get it off is with a crane. Because once they start cutting, it just go right through the whole house, clear down to the slab. So we need to keep them in our prayers. Because at this point, you know, a house is livable, but one wrong move and Merle's going to be moving in with one of us. So y'all pray like you mean it, okay? Just kidding. We love Merle. But anyway, yeah. So what's happened is that we still got to get somebody down there, a tree company, to give us an estimate. So, and it needs to be inside of some kind of reasonable number that we can pay for. Amen. That Merle can handle. He's got some money set back, but we're standing with you, Merle. You're not alone, brother.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Yeah?
Hey, you ever thought about talking to Amish guys?
What, who, huh?
The Amish boys.
Well, I don't know. They're going to need to have a crane on this one. This the thing's laying on top of the house. So even if the limbs are like this big around. That's not the trunk. Those are the limbs that are on his house. So, yeah, and it's going over the top of the house and over the lane in front of the house and touching the hot wire on the far side. So, yeah.
Is there another way in besides the hill? Can they come?
No.
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 Okay.
Oh, by boat. Oh. That's about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're going to see a miracle happen for Brother Merle. Amen? Hey, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Ephesians. Because I want you to see something about your Christianity that maybe you just haven't really grabbed a hold of because you think, well, that's just for fivefold ministry gift and people, you know, the special people. You know, I'm not special. Well, yeah, you are. God does not have any second-class children.
Amen.
And He created each and every single one of us to be a warrior. I said a warrior.
Amen.
You are not a lamb.
Amen.
You're a lion. You are called to give the devil a headache. You are called to bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth. And God has given you supernatural ability and wisdom to be able to do that. We are His hands and His feet. We are His mouth. We are the body of Christ. So you're not going to do it in your own strength. We already know what's going to happen if we try that. That's a given. But you see, if we understand how to tap into the power of God, and then start doing the work of God, all of a sudden the enemy's backing up. All of a sudden, you're messing with the wrong dude. And we've been talking about this for several weeks. This is the fifth installment, but God doesn't want you playing defense anymore. If there's anything that we see in the world that we're living in today, the church has got to rise up and be the church.
Amen.
I mean, this whole thing in Afghanistan, my goodness. I mean, there's a lot of believers in Afghanistan. Did you know that? And now they're going house to house just to kill them all. They don't care. That's the madness of Islam. Absolute madness. But the power of God is greater than all the power of the enemy. But the church has got to start acting like it's so. So we're going to go on the offense. That's why we talk about this whole thing of sharing our love, connecting with people, doing something. People need to see Jesus before they want to hear about Jesus. And if they don't see Jesus in you, you get what you get. And what we've got is not the will of God.
Amen.
So many of the churches are closed down. So many of them are running at half capacity of what they did 5 years ago. Most all of them are doing just a Sunday morning only service because nobody else will come out to the rest of them. Well, we have a Wednesday night, and buddy, we load you up. But the power of God is not something that's just going to fall on your head like ripe cherries off of a tree. You got to pursue it. See, He's designed and equipped the church to do what Jesus did. Amen? So as we got into the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and 2, we learned that we have every spiritual blessing in us right now. He's just sitting there doing nothing. Every spiritual blessing is in you right now. We are totally and completely redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and we are fully adopted. We are children of the Most High God. This is not something that you grow into. You got to understand this. When you got born again, you got everything. God just hit the download button and everything went into you right then and right there. All of the giftings you're supposed to operate in, the Holy Spirit, everybody got that same thing. You got it all. Now you just got to figure out how it works. It's so important. I'll never forget the first time I stepped on that nuclear submarine that I got on in the Navy. I tell you what, I had 2 years of schooling and I was dumber than a sack of hammers. I was book smart. I knew how nuclear power plants worked. I knew how the propellers worked and the steam system, but you get down there on a real one and it's kind of intimidating, especially when you got to shinny down this little bitty old ladder around a hole this big around to get down there in the people tank. And most everywhere you got to walk like this because there ain't enough room for you to walk like that. There's everything in there. My heavens. It's the same thing with becoming a Christian. You see, on that submarine, we had more firepower than everybody's firepower that was released in World War II, good guys and bad guys, all of it. We had more of that on our submarine than everybody else had in World War II. So you got all this power from heaven on the inside of you, but you got to figure out how to run it. You got to learn. You got to pursue it. God wants to show it to you, but He's not going to give it to you if you're lazy. He's going to open your eyes. That's why the book of Ephesians was written, to teach you how to bake the cake to becoming a powerful, effective Christian. We need to seek God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The Bible is not a book of information. It's a book of revelation. And it does two things simultaneously. Number one is this begins to renew or reprogram your mind from the old worldly stinking thinking that you used to think was okay. Your head is all screwed up. And it was boss hog till you got born again. Now, as you're reading the Word of God, your mind gets renewed and your spirit man gets fed. Amen. Your spirit. Because you are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. You are created in the image and likeness of God. You're going to live forever. The only question is where. And that's entirely up to you. God lays it out in front of you. He said, "Behold, I set before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life." Hello. So when God gives all this to us, we got to be willing to say, okay, I want it. I want to know all about it. I need that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I need to have the eyes of my understanding enlightened so that I know the hope of my calling. Every person here today has a calling on your life. Amen. Every single one of us one day will stand before God and He's going to say, "What'd you do with what I gave you?" Well, I got saved and I went to church when I could and didn't kick too many cats or shoot anybody or rob any banks. No, what'd you do? I called you to be this. You know, it's really a heartbreak when I look at the statistics of the number of people that go off to ministry school to study for the pastorate. The vast majority of them, over 90 to 95% of them, don't even try to get into the ministry after they get out of school. It's like, why did you go? Well, it's scary out there. There's lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a blood sport. I mean, it gets pretty brutal in the ministry. But that's so what? I mean, I haven't been nailed to the cross yet, have you?
No.
I haven't had anybody jab a spear in me or put a crown of thorns on my head. If Jesus can do it, I can do it. Because He's going to give me that supernatural strength to do it. Oh, yeah, it'll stretch you. Boy, oh, boy. But you see, the vast majority of them, with good intentions, good people, going to church regularly, get the hunger of God on the inside of them, go to Bible school, and then they just disappear. I know the few that do try, very few of them get past the second year because it hurts. Well, you know what? Guess what? The Bible says those who choose to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Amen. Get over yourself. That's why we pray that prayer for us when in the Ephesians 1. That thing, I hope you're praying that over you. Over and over and over and over, that God would give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you know the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, and that power is like the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Resurrection power is on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you. That's ours. Why don't we act like it? See, you only believe the part of the Bible that you're doing. Did you know that? You can memorize the whole cotton picking thing, but don't do you no good at all. Devil knows the Bible inside and out. Is he going to be a winner because of that? No. So it's important for us to see that. We got to see ourselves as seated at the right hand of God. That's where the Bible says. When he raised Jesus up, he raised us up. When Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father, the position of ultimate power, we're seated right there with Him. That's why we're to rule and reign as kings in this life by Christ Jesus. We got to be the church, though. We got to change our thinking if we're ever going to change the world. Because if you can whip yourself, if you can conquer your little things that keep giving you excuses for not doing it, you can conquer everything. And the hardest one is you. We are His masterpiece, we see. One translation says, we are His poem. I like that. We are His masterpiece. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He has already before ordained that we should walk in Him. In other words, it's already set up. All you got to do is get your act together and grab onto Jesus, and you'll do some stuff that'll freak you out. Because all of a sudden, God shows up. It's the most amazing thing. Can I give you a little secret? When you step over into that, you're stepping over into the anointing, and I'll tell you what, it's the most intoxicating thing on this planet, is to get under the anointing of God. I've been under so many times, especially the ones I like the most, is when I was in hospice, and somebody's got 6 months or less to live, and they got maybe a couple weeks left, and then, oh, they want to talk about it, you know. They've lived for the devil their whole lives, and 2 weeks or a week before they die, they go, I'd like to talk to that preacher. God shows up, and oh my gosh, the anointing is so strong in that place. It's like, you know. And they get gloriously saved before they die. That's a testimony of the love of God. Chase you right down to the door of hell. Snatch you at the last minute if you just say, Jesus be my Lord. But He wants to use you and He wants to use me to do that. We are built up, as we looked last week, into a spiritual house of living stones that are mortared together with love. Stop thinking about Christianity is just you and God. Because that's a joke. It's God and all of us working together. We are the body of Christ. We need each other. So we look in Ephesians chapter 3, as where we start out here in verse 1. It says, Paul says, for this reason, because I told you all this other stuff, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to me for you. In other words, most people didn't know. All they knew was that Saul of Tarsus was he was the hit man for the Sanhedrin. He was the enforcer. He was the one that had people killed and put in prison. And here he is. I love that. God's got a sense of humor. Don't you know that? If you just look at your wife, you realize, or you look at your husband, you realize, yeah, he's got a sense of humor, all right. Because he puts two totally different people together. I think he just likes the entertainment value of that. My wife and I, on the personality scale, I'm way over here and she's way over there. It's beautiful. You know, opposites attract. But if you're not getting redeemed, opposites attack. So the thing that drew you together to your spouse is the thing that drives you nuts now. But anyway, the power of God is here. And so here's Paul, who was way over here. Now God takes him. He was the Jew of Jews, okay? He was so deep into Judaism. Man, if he wasn't an absolute 100% Jew, he's coming after you. He was like the Taliban. of Jews. And now God calls him to go to the Gentiles. He didn't call him to go to the Jews. Isn't that cool? He's sending them to these people you can't even eat with. You know, because it was very big on the Old Testament, you know, that the Jews stayed separate from the Gentiles. And a Gentile is anybody who wasn't a Jew. Pretty exclusive club, wasn't it? So God says, Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. I love that. He says, but how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read, you'll understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, God took Paul when he went off into the desert in Arabia. And for years, he's pouring all of this stuff into Paul by revelation, what we now call the Pauline revelation. Because if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's like a snapshot of Jesus. Wow, cool. Jesus. But through Paul, he brings out the X-ray machine so that you can see. It's like I can look at Stephen and see him, you know, and all that. But you put an X-ray machine up against him, and all of a sudden there's bones, and there's his gizzard, and there's his, yeah, all them giblets that's in there, you know? All that funky stuff. Because there's more to Stephen than just what you see on the outside. There's more to Jesus than what you see in the Gospels. Because Paul takes and explains the Gospel is the what Jesus did, and the epistles are why he did it. And when you understand why he did it, and you understand that you are now in him, now you understand why you can do it too. Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do, and even greater works, because I go to my Father. People look at that and go, yeah, but. Come on, get your yeah, but out of the way. If Jesus said you can do it, do you think you can do it? Well, then maybe we should try. Maybe we should start taking baby steps in that direction. But Paul's writing all this by revelation. He made known to me the mystery. So it's really cool. So which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. So God's doing something brand new. The Gentiles were always on the outside looking in. But now Paul's saying that isn't the way it is anymore. He says that in other ages was not made known to the sons of man as it is as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. See, if you don't believe that Jesus is your Lord, you don't really understand why you are suddenly now qualified. Because the devil comes along, he reminds you all the time what a dirty, rotten sinner you are. Or at least what kind of a dirty, rotten sinner you were. How could God use somebody like that? Paul was a murderer. Hello. Peter was the biggest chicken heart you ever saw. He just let a little servant girl kind of buffalo him. He said, I don't know that, Jesus. So he got restored. Thomas was a doubter. I ain't believing until I stick my finger in the hole in his side. That's kind of gross, man. Didn't matter. God's always taking misfits. Amen. God's always taking the ones, like it says in 1 Corinthians, you know, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak to shame the strong. So he can use little old you and me, can't he? Amen. It's so important. Paul repeats this over and over and over again because we are bound by such a sin consciousness. We are so conscious of our failings and our mistakes and our unworthiness. Next time the devil throws a thought in your head that says you're unworthy, just start laughing and telling, yeah, I know, you're right. But the blood of Jesus made me worthy. Little old me, forget it, I know it. But Jesus and his blood has made me worthy, has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, has set me free, has put a robe on my shoulders and a ring on my finger and a crown on my head and sandals on my feet, and says, go. So if you want to talk about how unworthy I am, Mr. Devil, you better go talk to Jesus because he's the one that made me worthy. You start talking like that and the devil starts leaving you alone because he'll buffalo you, he'll lie to you, he'll intimidate you, he'll discourage you to the point or you just, well, I'll go to church when I can if that doesn't make you too mad, Mr. Devil. No, that's not what we're called to, is it? See, we are fellow heirs of the same body. We are partakers. Think about it, partakers of his promise because of what Jesus did. We got full rights. So you're never going to get this revelation knowledge through sense knowledge. You ought to come on Wednesday nights. We're bearing down on this, man. You can learn an awful lot just in that little hour on Wednesday. Because so many people are trying to figure it all out with their reasoning and with their five senses and what they understand as to what's going on right now. But God wants to give you a revelation. He wants to blow away all of that limited thinking that the world calls wisdom. Go to verse 7. We got full rights. Full rights in every way. He says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God that was given to me by the effectual working of His power. Paul wasn't doing it on his own. He ran out of Paul a long time ago. But that didn't stop him. So let's read on. He says, to me, who am the less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, he's not bragging on himself. He's bragging on God. He was the last guy anybody would ever assume would be chosen for that. The very last possible guy. So he goes on and he says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, catch this, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. So therefore I ask that you do not lose heart in my tribulations, which is for your glory. The manifold wisdom of God. How great is the wisdom of God? I don't know. I can't think that big. He put everything together with such mathematical precision. In fact, I love this part, where that protein molecule that holds every one of your cells together in your body, millions and trillions and billions of them, it's called laminin, and it's in the shape of a cross. Amen. You realize that inside of your body are trillions of little bitty crosses that can only be seen with an electron microscope? God's going, yep, I'm over here too. But the manifold wisdom of God, here's the thing. God wants to reveal this to all the universe through little old you and me. Do you realize the audience that we have is phenomenally huge that's watching what God is going to do through little old you and little old me and little old us together? He wants to reveal this manifold wisdom to all the angels. They don't have a clue, man. They're watching going, what's going on down there? Well, it's time to suit up. It's time to put on the armor of Christ. It's time to get in the game. We're not spectators anymore. See, when Paul said that when God called him into this ministry, the word ministry means to serve. The first thing that happens to you when God starts coming into your life and you get born again is you got this desire to do something. You want to serve. You want to be there. Give me some place. Put me in a game, coach. Nobody rides the bench on God's team. Because when His Spirit comes upon you, man, you just want to find something to put your hand to. I know your flesh don't like it and your mind don't like it or anything else, but so what? You go ahead and do it anyway if you're hungry for more of God. I can't tell you how many times I got into something that I'd never done before. But God showed me how to do it. And you know what the coolest thing is? Is when that happens, your confidence goes up a notch. You're never the same as what you were before. And then the next thing He leads you to do, and you go, okay, I'll do it. Well, then you just jump in there, and God shows you how to do it. And then you say, yeah, I'll do that. And you find out, whoa, that's going to hurt. There's pain in them there hills. You just get in there and do it anyway. Because God's going to give you the supernatural strength to do it. You can do it. Because you're doing it with God. And you're doing it for Him. You know, it's not about me. See, we are all called to tell others what we found in Jesus. That's what Paul said. I'm telling everybody about the good news. That's what the word gospel means. That's why we're supposed to be the gospel. That's why we're to pour out love and make investments and deposits in other people's lives. And sooner or later, you're going to get an opportunity and the privilege to tell them why you're so doggone different. It's because of Jesus. See, the world is sick of religion. Sick of it. Everywhere you go, there's religion. You know, the devil got smart. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he figures things out after a couple of millennia. Because it started out, he figured, well, we'll just crush these Christians. Feed them to the lions, crucify them, blah, blah, blah. Burn them at the stake. Found out that the way you do that, if you do that, you're going to get 10 times more Christians than you started before you started killing them off. So what did he do? He come along and he started putting all these other religions out there. And the sneakiest ones are the ones that kind of look a little bit like Christianity. But they're nowhere near. They don't even have the same gospel. Paul tells us in Galatians, that ain't even, that's not another gospel. There's no such thing. There's one gospel and that's it. But they look good and they smell good and they taste good and they're real friendly. But they'll send you right to hell. And you'll have no joy in your life because it's all based on works. Where Christianity is all based on love and our response to it. That's the important part. God chose to reveal it to them only through us. Every devil in hell is watching to see what's going to happen. And they're getting nervous. Because when the Spirit of God is poured out, I'm telling you, it changes everything. But when we have this working on the inside of us, when we believe and when we step out on His Word and we begin to fulfill the mission that Christ has given us, we end up with increased boldness. You're never the same. We have more confidence. We find out that our access to Him is true and real and it works. So you get a couple wins under your belt, you're ready. David whipped the lion. He's a teenage boy. He doesn't have a gun. He had a stick and a slingshot, and he took out a full-grown lion. Try that sometime. And if that wasn't bad enough, a bear comes along, and he had the same stick, and he had the same slingshot. And he took out the bear the same way. Now he's looking at the Philistine going, come on. Is that the best you got, Mr. Devil? He's too big to miss. Devil comes out, you know, Goliath comes out, he's talking trash and everything else, putting old David down. David starts talking covenant, starts running at the devil. Starts running at that giant, took him out. Was it because he was such a good shot with a slingshot? No. It's because God was on his side. See, he spent a whole lot of time bragging about God. Where do you see yourself? Are you bragging about God? And what he's doing in your life? Saul tried to put the armor on him. No way. He couldn't wear that armor. He's just a teenage kid, man. He's rattling around on the inside of it. Can't even see out through the visor, you know? Just a kid. And he goes out there with his regular stuff. He picked out 5 smooth stones. Goliath had 4 brothers. Picked out 5 stones. Went out to take the big dude out. Wait for the next one. Cut his head off with his own sword. With Goliath's sword. So why are we sitting back wondering and waiting? Why? How come God isn't doing anything in our midst? Because He's waiting on you.
That's right.
He's waiting on me. He's waiting on all of us. We need to start praying because you know what? You know, we go on the offense because we got the power of God operating in our life. It's not because I'm all that in a bag of chips. It's because what God is, and He's living on the inside of me. And every morning I get up going, God, you got anything for me? Let's go do something. So powerful. When you have an attitude like that before God. Let's go here and read this prayer. See, tough times, Paul said, don't worry about me, boys. Tough times come and tough times go, but the faithfulness of God is forever. Paul was in prison when he wrote this epistle, this letter. Was he worried? No. Because he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. So what? This life is temporary. Do something with it. It sets you up for eternity. So over here in chapter 3, verse 14, he says, for this reason, this is Paul's second major prayer for the church. You need to be praying the Ephesians chapter 1 prayer over you every single day, multiple times during the day. If you want any power operating in your life, you need to ask God for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. You need to, when that revelation comes, you need to know that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you. So there is no lack in your life whatsoever. But the second prayer that Paul prays for him is equally powerful. And you need to be praying this one over your life too. And he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom this Heavenly Father, the whole family in heaven and earth, His name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing would dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." There's some seven things that I see in here that you better get. Paul's praying this, you better get this. If you don't get it, you can't have it. So you're praying this prayer because you're believing God. See, everything God does in your life, He does by permission. And if you don't give Him permission, He can't do anything. You are governed by your confession, what's coming out of your mouth. Don't you think it's the smartest thing that you could possibly do to say the same thing that God says? I may be Captain Obvious, but works for me. Because He's telling us that we need to have our spirit man strengthened with the Holy Spirit in power that's fully able to embrace His presence within you. And then to show forth His power in action. You need the Holy Ghost connection. That's why the very first thing that God did when He birthed the church was He got them filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Do you know God does not have a plan B? He's got plan A, and that's it. See, you can't do this on your own. Now, when you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit come on live on the inside of you. I understand that. But there's a second work of grace, and that is you've got to make a connection with the Holy Spirit. And that's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence and speaking in other tongues is for. Because when you're speaking out of your spirit as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, you're speaking the pure will of God. And the power of God that flows with it. Because if your spirit and the Holy Spirit don't come together, you're in trouble. You got a big old target painted on you. But the Holy Spirit says, come on, we'll do this together. So you need to have this. You have to have your spirit strengthened. You got to have, second thing is, you got to have Jesus, the Anointed One, and His anointing. That's what the word Christ means. You need to have that permanently dwelling on the inside of you, not just when you're warming up on Sunday. I love it when they get together in an AA meeting and they go, "Hi, my name is Harold and I'm an alcoholic." You know, I love it this way. "Hi, my name is Harold and I'm a Godaholic." I can't get enough of Him. I'm not satisfied with a little sip on Sunday morning. I mean, the Holy Ghost is the best bartender there ever is, and He wants to give you the great spirits that's going to really help you out. So I want it every day. There ain't no high like the Most High. He wants you walking in this stuff. But it's, like I said, it's entirely up to you how much you get. When Christ permanently dwells in our hearts, that means He's at home in us, causing us to be continually transformed into His image and likeness. In other words, people can tell the difference. From 1 year to the next, from 1 month to the next, because you're bearing down, you're grabbing a hold of it. And the life of God starts leaking out of you like crazy. And people look at, what happened to you? Well, I'm glad you asked, you know. Third thing it is, you got to fully understand His great love for you. And that's a whopper. Because that love for you is incredibly huge. That you know, look at this, the length and the depth and the height and the width, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. In other words, it doesn't mean anything if you know about it. It means everything when you experience it for yourself. It's got to be beyond just me figuring it out up here. It's about me getting a hold of it down here, and it's now, yeah. Let's go see how far this thing will run. Oh, yeah. I remember when I got my pickup truck. 2001 Ford Lightning got a supercharger on it. And I'm reading the spec sheet on that thing. Lord have mercy, that thing goes 0 to 60 in 5.3 seconds. A pickup truck. It'll do 105 mile an hour through the quarter mile. That's faster than a 428 Super Cobra Jet Mustang would do back in 1970. A pickup truck. By a second and a half goes through the quarter mile than one of them hot rods, them old-timey ones. And then it says it'll do 155 mile an hour because that's when it hits the red line and the engine won't rev any farther. It isn't like it's run out of power. It's just like, better stop before it blows up because it's still going. Now, I ain't never had it up that fast because it's a pickup truck. But I'll tell you what, it'll get you where you want to go quicker than you want to get there. Used to be I'd get so infuriated going down 12 heading to Monroe or over, east to Quincy, or even between here and Quincy, bad enough. But anyway, there'd be three or four cars and one person's out in front. They just love a parade and they're doing about 10 under the speed limit. And I'm about the fifth car behind in that pickup truck. Man, I take them all. Get around. I say, oh, I love my pickup truck. And I look for the cops. But that power that God has for you, that love, that you need to know what it can do. You need to study the spec sheet on how wide and how long and how high and how deep so that you can taste it. God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. His love is what makes Him good. And you need to know how far this love goes. Don't be satisfied with what you got. It's wonderful, but there's more. There is so much more. God's a too much God. I don't know if you know that or not. He's El Shaddai. He's too much. I remember down in Texas when I lived down there, there's a great big old honking billboard at this one big steakhouse. Said, if you can eat this 72 ounces, that's like 3 pounds of steak. 72, wait a minute, that's like 5 pounds, isn't it? 4 pounds. Four times 16, yeah, it is. Anyway. Four? That's a lot of cow. And then they give you a baked tater. And then they smother it with onions and mushrooms and everything else. And if you can eat it in that allotted period of time, you can have it for free. Man, you just get too, that's too much. Too much. I was on an offshore oil rig, a drilling platform one time working, and this old boy came in, big old boy. He came down and they had the cafeteria there, and it's all you could want ever want to eat. And the guy goes, I want a short stack of T-bones. I'm standing next to him going, I've heard a short stack of pancakes. But every one of these T-bones is 3/4 inch thick. And you got three of them stacked on top of each other. Short stack, just three. It was lunch. He eat bigger at supper time. Big old boy. Big old boy. He sat there and ate the whole thing. 3 pounds. Woofed it down, ate the tater and everything. And I'm just sitting there in amazement looking at him going, wow. The love of God is way beyond that. And you need to know it. You need to experience it. But you're not going to get it when you're sitting in your little safe place doing the little bitty things that don't put you in any kind of danger at all. No risk. See, we're supposed to be out there. The fourth thing is to know this love for us that brings that confident boldness. Because once you figure out how big God is or get a bigger picture of it, I think eternity was created because that's how long it's going to take to figure out how big this love is. Because just as soon as you get so far and God goes, yeah, but watch this. And He turns the page and like, oh, gosh. Forever, He's going to be doing that. God, you're so cool. Thank you. But you see, when we take this love and we give it away, it increases our capacity for more of it. We get more boldness. We get more confidence. when we're exposed to this love. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Me and God, nothing. We'll get her done. How are you going to do it? I don't know. He does. Where are you going to get all you needed to get it done with? I don't know, but he does. And he's with me, and his love's on me, and it's going to get done one way or the other. I don't care. It's not ever a question of if we're going to get it done. It's when we're going to get it done, because God said it's going to get done. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Wow. Fifth thing is to be filled with God's fullness. To have the richest measure of His divine presence until we are flooded with God Himself. You got to get that. You got to find a way to get that. And I'm telling you, the life is so busy. It's busy for a purpose so that you don't have time to go get it. Because the devil knows once you get it, he's in trouble. It's a total game changer. Because that love is going to give you that strength, and that strength is going to fill you with the fullness of God. And when the fullness of God is working on you, believe me, I love it. Because that way people don't know where God leaves off and you begin. Do you understand? Oh, you're still touchable. You're still real. You're still having fun. But anytime you get around people, ooh, I'm telling you. I love reading about Finney back in the day. He was a great evangelist back in the 1800s. He'd come into towns and revival would break out. Everywhere he went, revival would break out. There were times when Smith Wigglesworth, who was another great man of God, he'd be sitting there in a dining room and everybody'd come under conviction. He hadn't said a mumbling word. But the presence of God was so strong on him, people were like, People that weren't aware of God at all really, really, really got aware of God when he came in and sat down. He didn't say a word. Nobody knew who he was. Just all of a sudden, the presence of God was so strong in the place, it just started working on people. Some of them fell down, started crying out to God because of their sins. He hadn't said nothing to them. They don't even know he's a preacher. He's just an old, short, stubby Welsh plumber wearing a really nice suit. But the presence of God was so strong on him. You know, Jesus said in John 17 that he prayed that we would be one with him like he is with the Father and like he is with the Holy Spirit. That's where we're supposed to be operating from. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and Tony. Why not? Why not? God says that's where you belong. Why don't we act like it? Sixth thing is to be bathed in the riches of His glory. The glory of God is like the presence of God only on steroids. It is so incredible about the only way that you can really explain it is to describe what happens when His presence is upon you. The word glory in the Hebrew, it speaks of wealth, numbers, commerce, power, wisdom, promotion, extraordinary privileges and advantages, splendor, valor, magnificence. It's a full measure of His goodness. And you can have that. Remember Moses? Wasn't even born again. He was a friend of God. But one day he says to God, I want to see your glory. And God didn't chew him out for that. God said, come on, man. You're asking too much. No, God didn't do any of that. He says, I'll show you my goodness. Had him in a cleft of the rock because he wasn't born again. He couldn't look upon God without dying because his sins hadn't been forgiven him until Jesus came along. Tucked him back in a little crevice in a rock and he got to see the hinder parts of God as he walked by. That was so much for Moses. For years he just glowed so brightly that they asked him to wear a veil over his face because it was just shining out of him for a long, long time after that. God wants to show you His glory. Do you have the guts to ask to see it? Do you have the courage? Do you have the confidence that God wants to show you His glory? Yeah. I'm His child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Why wouldn't I want that? That's my heritage. That's my inheritance. That's my daddy. That's my Abba. You need to get that. The last thing is to be rooted and grounded. That means founded and established in agape love, his kind of love. Totally different from the world kind of love. That you are rooted and grounded in the God kind of love so we can participate in his divine plan of gospel power going throughout the world. I love reading in the book of Acts where Philip ends up going down. God says, after he has the big revival in Samaria, he says, all right, I want you to go down to Gaza, which is like the desert south of Israel, right along the Mediterranean coast. Dry bones. So, okay, fine. He takes off and goes down there. Sure enough, he runs across this Ethiopian eunuch, leads him to the Lord. He was a Jew, this eunuch was, and he came back and, you know, to worship in Jerusalem. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, riding in a chariot, and old Phil, he's just walking along, minding his own business, and he hears this guy reading this scripture out loud, and he says, you want to know more about that? So the fellow, I mean, he's got this whole big entourage. He is a really powerful dude in the government of Ethiopia. So he's got everything, tents, chariots, carrying wagons, camels, you name it. It's a big party, just taking care of him. So Philip gets up on the chariot with him, explains Christ to him, gets baptized, gets born again. Here's the best part, the part I always like. And when he comes up out of the water, he looks around and Philip is gone. God just transported him, to what they call translated him, physically took him 100 miles away. I'm looking forward to that. I think we all should be expecting that. If God wants to use it, sure beats the heck out of driving to Tulsa, man. That's a long drive. That's 850 miles, you know. Why don't you just beam me over there, Lord? That'd be great. But if you're doing God's work, why not? See, signs and wonders are there to get their attention. When miracles start happening in the body of Christ, in the church, it starts happening outside of the church, and then people go want to know, what's this Jesus you're talking about? Because now you're not talking about religion anymore. You're talking about a God that shows up and shows off. But he only does that through you and me. And he's waiting on you, and he's waiting on me. To be rooted and grounded in love. To be love-dominated. So that everything we do, where I'm caring more about other people than I am for myself. Yesterday we had an 80th birthday party for my wife's oldest sister. She's 14 years older. Anyway, big old party. I mean, we had close to 100 people out there. And it was kind of thrown together in not a very precise way. Did you bring the silverware? No, I thought you brought the silverware. This is after everybody's starting to dish up their food. But anyway. So we're out there at the park in Quincy and everything's going great. And, you know, and she's supposed to show up at 5 o'clock. So I'm going, okay, who's in charge of getting the food going? Oh, no. So I grabbed one guy and we went down there. We threw the charcoal in. We got the fire going. It takes about 20, 25 minutes to get the charcoal up and ready to go. Then we got all the meat out of the refrigerator. Nobody knows what's going on, but, you know, we're out there, we're flipping burgers and hot dogs and everything else. I have no more hair on my knuckles anymore. I hope they'll grow back. But that was one hot charcoal fire, let me tell you. We fed 100 people like that, but I just got in there and did it. Why? That's what love would do. I care about other people more than I care about myself. And I had a lot of fun doing it. It's great when you serve other people because God shows up when you do that. He's looking for people that have a servant's heart. He's looking. It's like what Paul told Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, commit unto those that are faithful and able to teach others also. God's looking for somebody that'll just get started. He'll provide everything else after that, but you got to do the first step. I want to be love dominated. More fun that way. It's more interesting that way. I mean, they were going to have 100 people, and oh, by the way, we only got seats for about 60 people. What are we going to do? Well, let's call Uncle Harold because he's got that canopy and he's got tables and chairs. And so I did all that. And then loaded it all back up and brought it back. And why? Because I walk by love. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying the love of God's on the inside of me and it's leaking out. Get filled up. Get filled up. So important. Everybody has a strong, longing desire to love and to be loved. Why not be loved by the absolute love? But this revelation only comes, as we can see in this prayer, through a unified body of Christ. If we're not in this together, it don't work. If two or three of us really want it, it ain't going to work. That's got to be something we all have a desire for, because we want to glorify God. Our life on this side of heaven, He'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He meant that. So if we're on fire for Him, stuff just starts happening in our lives that we didn't even have to work for. See, we got to comprehend with all the saints. He's not going to reveal it just to you. If we comprehend with all the saints, verse 18 says, what is the height and width, the length and the depth, and to know this love that passes knowledge? God's going to reveal some things to Audra that He's not going to reveal to me. He's going to reveal some things to Carlos, to Jerry, to all of you. Did you pay attention when He gave it to you? Did you write it down? Did you think about it? Ask God to reveal it a little more to you? Because sometimes it drops in your head and you're like, what was that? Well, ask God to reveal it to you. Because when God gives all of us different parts and we share it with each other, we come together with all the saints to know how big this love is, to know how big this calling is, to know exactly what we're supposed to be doing at all times. So it's not about you sitting out there listening to me. We're all in this together. I'm just your coach. But we're the body of Christ. God will do this. When Jesus, think about it for a minute. When Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Remember that? So all the Christians are going, okay, we'll hang out in Jerusalem. Here's the funny thing. He only told the 11 disciples, because Judas is gone now, there's only 11. He said to the 11 disciples, go meet in the upper room. Well, the upper room was in Jerusalem. Jesus appeared, the Bible says, to over 500 people after His resurrection. Physically appeared to them. Told them all the same thing, tarry in Jerusalem. How come only 120 were in the upper room? Where was the other 380? Well, the other 380 said, He just told me to stay in Jerusalem. But the ones that listened to the apostles said, well, yeah, the upper room's in Jerusalem, but He's telling them. So He revealed to the apostles what He didn't reveal to everybody else. See how this works? It isn't like there's some big I, little you. We're all in this together. God's going to reveal all kinds of things to all kinds of different people. And that's how we get to know this. Because you can't live long enough to get it all by yourself. Think about it. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 14. I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 12, 14, it says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, that's kind of dumb. Okay? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, yeah, hello. But then again, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole body was hearing, where would be the smelling? And now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as He pleased. Yeah, you're here for a reason. You're specifically here for a specific reason. And there's a whole lot of people that have never walked through the doors of this church that are supposed to be a part of this body that have been given gifts by God that we need to be complete. So we need to be out there telling them. Verse 21 says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again can the head to the feet, I have no need of you, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We need each other. We need each other desperately. And you're not going to get what the other guy's got or the other gal's got from a distance. You understand what I'm saying? You need to get to know each other. I really had a great time on Thursday. I had Damien and Ramon come in. Yeah, Ramon and Johanna's two teenagers, they came in. Man, that was great. I didn't know that Damien played a mariachi thing with a trumpet. Man, can you imagine? Have you ever heard a mariachi band? Man, they are something else. And this little guy's like, yeah. And Ramon's the same way. Got the saxophone going. Look out, down. Powerful. But you see, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't gotten close to him. We need each other. And we need to be close to each other. We need to break bread together. Invite somebody home sometime just to break bread. Or take them out to the restaurant or whatever. I know, Lisa, you live a long ways away. That's good. Almost 25 minutes to get to where you live, but still, we need each other. When Stephen first walked in the door, I'm thinking, what kind of dude is this? Be honest with you. Yeah. It's like, he's different. Well, then again, so am I. Well, I just had to kind of figure out what kind of different he was. But I tell you what, get close to him. I like it. He's my kind of different. Remember, normal is just a setting on your dryer. It has nothing to do with real life, okay? I think Irma Bombeck said that. Normal people make me nervous because they're hiding something because they ain't normal. They just don't want you to know what they really are, okay? They hide it under a cloak of mediocrity, but I think we ought to know each other. I think it really breaks down the barriers between us and allows that confidence and that love to connect with each other so that we share what we've got. And we find out there's something really deep that's in there. No sooner did I get to figure out Steve, now he's taking off, man. What's with that? It's a God thing. It's okay. I'm just tickled for the few months that we had. I mean, he's like somebody lit the fuse on a rocket, man. Late February, he gets lit up by the Holy Ghost, and now he's going to camp meeting, and now he's going to be gone for 4 years or whatever it is. It's powerful, but it's wonderful. It's God. But I'm telling you, God's up to something really big in these last days, and he's waiting on you. And here's the best part. Now unto him who does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, that's the catch. In every promise you will ever see in the Bible, there's the God side. This is what God says I'm going to do. But here's a qualifier. Here's the condition. If you'll do this, I'll do this. Amen. According to the power that works in us. What's this whole prayer been about? Love. The horizontal kind of love, love between each other, and the vertical line of love connecting with the love of God. And when you got that cooking, God says, watch this. The exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, because we're going to glorify God. This is the reward for those who devote themselves to His plans and to each other. It's not the individual's reward. It's a group reward when we walk in unity and love. So this, once again, like I said, is a gift of God. Everything is. Everything that He's called you to do, He's already placed it on the inside of you. Faith is what connects with Him that activates it. And then you're walking with Him through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't care. I'm not going to fear any evil. He's right there with me. Are you kidding? There is nothing bigger than our God. But the kicker is, you got to be confident that He's right there with you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what. In the darkest hour, He's right there. You say, well, how come God isn't talking? You know, the teacher's always silent during the test. So, He's asking your faith to kick in. All right, God, I thank you for this. This is all going to turn out. I'm not worried about it. You just show me what I got to do, and I'll do my part, because I know you'll do your part. See, this is how we bake the cake. This is how we go from defense to offense, because we got a living God, we got a loving God, and we've got access to Him 24/7, anywhere we go, anywhere we are, any place. Amen. The question is are you willing? Because He's already made up His mind. Well, pray that prayer over your life, that Ephesians chapter 3. Just change the pronouns around. He says, well, I pray that you just say, Lord, I'm praying that I would get this spirit. I'm praying that you would open my eyes to all of this. In the Ephesians 1 prayer and the Ephesians 3 prayer, I'm telling you what, you start praying these prayers on a regular basis and things are going to start happening. It's like microwave popcorn. How many like popcorn? What happens with microwave popcorn? You open the bag, you take out a little plastic thing and put it in there, right side up. You got to know just what, how long it's got to be in there, because 5 seconds too late and nobody wants it. But it sits there and it spins, and the microwave just a cranking, nothing's happening. Just and then what? What happens? There's a pop. And then there's two, and then there's 20, and then there's 200. That's what happens when you start down this road. Seems like nothing's happening. And suddenly there's a pop. God shows up and shows off. And you're like, oh, do it again. Keep the switch of faith on. He'll fill you up. He will use you in so many ways. Because the cool thing is when God looks at you, he's just going, yeah, you watch what we do. And anybody else in the world looks at you going, that had to be God, because I know it wasn't Carlos. I know him. He couldn't do that on his best day. But all of a sudden, it's just God. Amen. It's just God. It's just God. Amen. And you're crazy enough to believe. That's the kind of nuts I like. Because if I'm nuts like that, at least I'm screwed to the right bolt. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And everything's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you today. And I ask God in particular that you would give my friends here this revelation and this prayer, that they would begin to have, you know, to be strengthened with might in their inner man, that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith, that they'd be rooted and grounded in love, and that they would begin to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the length, and the width of this love, and to know this love that passes knowledge, that they would be filled with all the fullness of you, Lord. It's time, and we're hungry, and we're asking, Lord, for more. Open our eyes to see. Like what Dad Hagen said, these last days, there's going to be a spirit of seeing and knowing. Lord, help us to see and know, to get the revelation knowledge, to enjoy the excitement of walking with you. Lord, we thank you for it in every way. Give us divine appointments, I pray, all this week to take this love and give it away. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, if you like this church and you're getting anything out of it, would you please let other people know what you found? Amen. We got too many empty seats in here. What do you say? Amen. Let's fill it up. Amen? Amen? Now, as you go, get ready to give the devil a headache. Yes, sir. Time to repay him for the things he's been doing to us, right? Amen. To walk in victory just drives him crazy. So have a good week. Amen? Amen. See you Wednesday. Amen. God bless you.